Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. We are located at the corner of Highway 2449 and Highway 156 in Ponder, Texas. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church, contact us at www.fbcponder.org. And now, today's message.
I know that most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with that classic novel. Been made into multiple movies, really. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. One of the characters in that is named Tiny Tim. He's the youngest son of Scrooge's employee, Bob Cratchit. He's really a minor character in the novel, but he has one line for which he is famous. A line that he offered at prayer at their Christmas dinner. God bless us, everyone. It really became a really significant line in the story, so much so that Dickens repeats it at the very end of the novel as a symbol of the change that happens in Scrooge's heart across the storyline of that. God bless us, everyone. That is an oft-prayed line. You have heard it prayed many, many times. You have prayed it many times. We seek God's blessing. We wish it for ourselves. We wish it for others. Whenever somebody sneezes, what do we say? And what does the person always say? They usually thank you, don't they? Because we like to be blessed of God. But I would suggest to you, I'm not sure we really understand what it means to be blessed by God, especially in terms of why God blesses us, how we're to view the blessings that God pours out in our life. I want us to look today at Psalm 67 that we read earlier, and I hope you'll turn there in your copy of God's Word and follow along. And I want this morning to bring to a close this series we've called The End of Me. Coming to the end of yourself. Understanding what it means when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must die to yourself, deny yourself. We've been looking for several weeks at what it means to do that, how to live a life of self-denial, of death to self. And I want to finish with Psalm 67 and see what it has to say about God's blessings. And you'll see how it contributes to our living a life of self-denial and death to self. The psalmist writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. The first truth, and really the central truth, that arises out of Psalm 67 is this. You and I are to crave God's blessings for God's purposes. It's very important to catch all of that. Crave God's blessings for God's purposes. Now, I know this morning the fact that God blesses us is indisputable. No one would argue with that. And the psalmist declares it in verse 6 of Psalm 67. He said, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. He says it in other ways throughout the psalm. And in verse 1, he says that God has made His face to shine upon us. That means that God smiles down on us, that God looks upon us with His favor. He shows favor toward us. And in verse 6, he's very specific that one of the ways he blesses us is he blesses us materially. He said, the Lord, make sure that the land yields its harvest. Well, remember that Israel, out of which this arises, was an agricultural society. Nothing was more important than the harvest for their well-being, for their material well-being. And God made sure it yielded a bountiful harvest for them. God was blessing them materially. The psalmist was pointing that out. We could go on, expand upon that. We understand. It's indisputable that God blesses us all materially. He blesses us emotionally, fueling our lives with joy, stabilizing our lives with His peace. He blesses us mentally, stirs our minds to think thoughts that energize us, that delight us. He blesses us physically, enabling us to benefit from good health. But when that good health fails, that then He comes along to strengthen and heal us when that health is suffering. He blesses us relationally, enriching our lives through our relationships with other people, our interactions with others who fill us up. And most of all, He blesses us spiritually. Most importantly, all the others would mean nothing if He has not blessed us spiritually. He sums that up in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul breaks out in a doxology of praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with, does it say many spiritual blessings? Every. Think about that. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We could start enumerating them this morning, and the list could go on and on. It would begin certainly with the blessing of making a way for us to have our sin forgiven through Jesus Christ by grace, simply by placing our faith in Him and what He did for us on the cross. It would the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us, the gift of His Word in which God has clearly revealed His ways to us and how to live life in a way that honors Him. He has given us spiritual gifts, talents, enablings that help us be involved in His work, and the list could go on and on. But let me sum it up with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There's not one single thing you don't have in Christ that you need to live a life that God wants you to live. He's provided every blessing, every good thing you need. And you'll notice what it says there in 2 Peter, that God blesses us not because of who we are, not because of what we do, not that somehow we merit His blessings, that some of us earn more blessings than others. It has anything to do with us. It's because of who He is. He's called us by His own glory and His own goodness. It's out of His grace that God blesses us. Back in Psalm 67, he said, "May God be gracious to us." It's a recognition, God, we want Your blessing, but we know it only comes by Your unmerited favor, not because we deserve it. It comes out of His grace. It comes out of His goodness. It comes out of His generosity. God's not stingy with His blessings. He pours them out to us in multitudinous ways. Nancy Spiegelberg wrote a daily devotional, and in it she has this little prayer. "Lord, I crawled across the bareness to You with my empty cup, uncertain in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known You better, I'd have come running with a bucket." That's how good our God is. That's what He wants us to do, to come running to Him with a bucket. To receive the blessings He wants to pour out in His grace and in His goodness and out of His generosity. That God blesses us is indisputable. That we should ever fail to seek those blessings is inconceivable. The psalmist here is praying for God to bless. The psalm begins and ends with a prayer asking for God to do the very thing that God wants to do, to pour out blessing. Notice he says in verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. And he ends it in verse 7 by praying again, may God bless us still. Listen, God wants you to pray for his blessing. It's inconceivable that you wouldn't. He welcomes it. He encourages it. In fact, in James chapter 4 and verse 2, God's word says, you do not have because you do not ask God. You're missing out on some of the blessings of God because you don't ask him for them. But then James goes on in that chapter 4 and he goes to the very heart of the psalm. With what he goes on to say. In verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask God. And in verse 3, he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That God blesses us is indisputable. That you and I would fail somehow to want those blessings, to seek them, is inconceivable. But here's the important point. We must make certain that we seek his blessings for the right reason. And learning to do that is invaluable. James goes on to give us a very specific reason for the absence of God's material blessings in their life. He said, you don't have because you don't ask God, but when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motive. And then he goes on in verse 3 to be very specific, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You don't have because you don't ask, but when you do ask, you don't get. Why? Because you're selfish. You and I are, it's very easy for us to be selfish with the blessings of God. And what's clear from the psalm is that God never intended for you and I to be selfish with his blessings. That's not why he blessed us. And so you could ask, well, what did he intend? What is the reason God blesses? Why does he bless us? Now, I don't want you to go away thinking, certainly God wants to meet our needs. That's clear from the Word of God. He certainly desires to provide for us. He wants us, and he intends to make sure that we are fed, and that we are watered, and that we are clothed, and that we are housed, that we are healed, that we are protected, that we are fulfilled in life, that we are strengthened, that we are saved, that we are equipped. All those blessings we talk, God wants all that for us. But you must understand the reason that God has for blessing us from a much larger perspective, a far grander vision, a more fundamental reason. Look in the psalm again. Now, we're going to read this psalm again. I know we've already read it together once, and I've read, but I want us to read it, and I want you to listen in it, this prayer. Hear the prayer. God bless us, God bless us, God bless us. But hear the reason why you want God to bless you. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that, there's a little clue for you. Here it comes. Here's why. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. God has many desires, but the chief one is this, that God desires for his name, which represents all that he is, God desires for his name to be greatly known, for his glory to be spread across this world, that he might be able to fulfill his ultimate purpose, his highest intention, which is to bring together a people for himself composed of individuals from every corner of the earth. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, John had that vision of a worship scene in heaven, and they were gathered around the Lord, the glorified Lord Jesus in heaven, singing to him this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. God is pulling together a people, a kingdom to serve him, to reign alongside of him. And God desires and deserves that that group be made up of people from every nation. He longs for people from every people group, every tribe, every language group to be a part of that, to be saved through Jesus Christ, to be a part of the people with whom he shares life now and throughout eternity. And in that way, he receives praise from every nation. That's what the psalm is praying for in Psalm 67, that he might be praised by all the nations. It's a praise that arises naturally from those who are experiencing his salvation by grace. It's a praise that arises naturally when they come to, as the psalmist said, when they know his ways. That means they experience them personally, not know them up here, but know them, experience them personally. When they come to understand what he is like, that he is a just God and a sovereign God and a good God, praise just naturally arises. Then they will delight in him and find their joy in him. They will reverence him, worship him, and honor him. Our God is worthy of that, isn't he? He's worthy of praise and honor from all people, whether it's a person who lives across the street from you or somebody that we'll share the gospel with this week in Pondicherry, France. God longs to receive praise from them. And the psalmist says, that's the reason why God blesses you. It is to that end, for that purpose. And when we understand that, it becomes legitimate to suggest that we should crave the blessings of God. That's why I label this point. Crave God's blessings, but it's craving God's blessings for God's purposes. Not because we crave, oh God, bless me because I want greater benefits, Lord. I want greater comfort in this world, Lord. I want greater abundance. You don't crave God's blessings so you have more. But because you crave the purposes of God being fulfilled. You crave God receiving the glory and the honor that is due him for being such a wonderful God. You want him to be known and adored and worshiped. That's why you crave the blessings of God. Great church leader Augustine said, God is more anxious to bestow his blessings on us than we are to receive them. Now, I've heard that preached from the standpoint of God wants to bless you. He wants your life to have more comfort, your best life now, all that kind of junk. That's not why he's more anxious to bestow his blessing on you. He wants to pour out his blessing on you so that his purposes and his glory can be accomplished more fully. That's his intention. Now, if that's God's intention for his blessing, what does that mean for us? What's the application of the truth of Psalm 67? Well, it's this. You channel God's blessings for God's purposes. First, you crave them, understanding what God's purposes are, and then you channel God's blessings for God's purposes. We must not receive God's abundant blessings and become a reservoir of them, storing them up for our own selfish purposes. That's not why he gave them. We're to become a channel, not a reservoir. As when the rain falls down from the sky, falls on the mountains and on the hillsides, and then runs down to the lower elevations, running down to the streams that go off in other directions, taking water in many other directions. In that way, the blessings of God are poured out on us. God rains them down on us. To bless you, yes. They enrich you, yes. But he's sending them on their way to enrich somebody else. He's sending them on their way to bless and enrich other people, all for the praise of God. That's why he pours them out on you. Now, how do we do that? How do we channel God's blessings for his purposes? And I would suggest to you, you have to be intentional about it. It isn't going to just happen because that's not natural. We're talking about how to come naturally yourself. You just receive the blessings of God. You want them more and more, and you use them, and you just enjoy life maybe to a greater and greater degree as you use them selfishly. That's the natural thing to do. We're talking about how to die to yourself. You got to be intentional. You have to deliberately appropriate your blessings for the accomplishment of God's purposes. To appropriate something means to set it aside for a particular and specific use. And so you appropriate the blessings of God for God's purposes. You direct God's blessings so that they are used in a way to make his name known. They are used in a way to make his salvation known to the people who live around you, who are in your family, and to the ends of the earth. First of all, you appropriate your testimony. You appropriate your testimony. Now, what I mean by that is, this is very simple. This is something you should do every day. Publicly, openly, unashamedly, give God credit as being the source of the blessings in your life. You want to make sure the people around you every single day know the reason why you're blessed. It's not because you're good and you deserve it. It's because God is good. Physically, if you're healthy and enjoying good health, someone says, man, you sure got good family genes. No, I've got a good God. He gave me the genes. But he's the source. He's the reason why I enjoy good health. And when our health fails and he brings healing, give God the glory. Maybe he used doctors. He might have used medicine. He might have just done it directly. He can do that. But whatever route it comes, give him the glory. Give him the credit. He's the source of that blessing. Emotionally, when people may ask you from time, they may say, why do you have such joy? Why are you so happy? Even in hard times, why do you seem so joyful and so hopeful, even in the midst of this trial that you're going through? Peter said, be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. Why do you have such joy? Because I know a God who loves me and sustains. Give God the credit for your emotional blessings. Give credit to God for the mental blessings in your life. Why you think, why you're able to think like you do. Give him glory for your relational blessings. You know, somebody says, you sure have a wonderful wife. You don't say, yeah, I'm a lucky man. You weren't lucky. God gave her to you. Please stop using the word lucky. There is no such thing. If you have a great wife, a great husband, it's because God gave him to you. If you have good children, your children have turned out great, or your grandchildren are doing things to brag on, it's not because you or their grandparent. If your kids turned out good, it's not because you were a good parent. There are a lot of good parents who have bad kids. And there are some bad parents who have some good kids. It's the God who does it. God raises them. God makes them who they are. It is God who deserves the glory. And most of all, we testify to the source of our spiritual blessings. Why do you have such hope in this world where there's so much hopelessness, when so many things seem to be falling apart? How do you maintain? Tell people how Jesus saved you. Tell people about the life that he's given you, now abundant, eternal. Don't just enjoy it for yourself. See, every one of you today would say, oh, God bless me when he saved me, whatever age you were, he saved me. And, oh, it's such a wonderful life. If you're not telling other people about it, then you're selfish. God didn't save you just so you could go to heaven. He saved you so you could take people with you. Share that. Don't be selfish with what God has done. In the New Testament, do you remember that story in Luke chapter 8? Mark tells it also. Jesus goes to an island and he meets a demon-possessed man there, and he drives the demons out of the man. And when he gets ready to leave, he went over there just for that one man. And when he gets ready to leave, the man says, I want to go with you. And Jesus wouldn't let him. In Luke 8:39, Jesus said, "You return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You see, you and I, we're like, he wanted to be selfish and go with Jesus, just hang out with Jesus all the time. Oh, no. You go home and you tell people what I've done for you. And you see, you and I, we just want to hang out with Jesus and with each other. And Jesus says, no, you go to those around you who love you and know you, and you tell them how much I have done for you. You see, in telling those stories, in telling God, we're pointing people to God. We're saying, isn't he wonderful? This God who's blessed me physically and mentally and emotionally and materially and spiritually, isn't he wonderful? He's a great God. That's why God blessed. Appropriate your testimony. Appropriate your time. Do you ever wake up in the morning? I hope you do every... I know you wake up in the morning. Do you ever wake up in the morning and the first thing your thought is just, Father, thank you for today. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Now, you don't know that you got the whole day, but you know you've woken up to a new day at least, and you just say, Father, thank you for it. Listen, every day in it is a gift from God. Every second. The fact that you breathe that next time, that's a gift of God. Every heartbeat, it's a gift of God. Every moment, every second, every minute, every hour of every day is a blessing from God. Don't be selfish with that blessing, with the time that God has given you. Use it for his purposes. I'm so grateful this summer for all the people who are using their time for the glory of God. Every Wednesday, we have a group of ladies who are taking food to 30-something, I think, families, kids who don't have the food, and take the food to them and feed them across summer. That's time they could be using for something else, but they deliver those meals. And oh my goodness, a couple of weeks ago, we had a bunch of kids at camp. I'm so grateful. 7 ladies, a couple of men who went and spent their whole week out there so our kids could go to camp and hear about Jesus. And in a few weeks, we'll have about 70, 80, 90 adults and teenagers who have lots of other places to be and lots of other things to do, but they'll pour out their week, and many the week before that, getting ready for vacation Bible school. This coming Thursday, 9 of us are headed to France, giving up those 10 days, some using their vacation time. Those are sacrifices people make. That's using the blessing of every hour of every day God has given us for his glory and for his purposes. You know, often when we ask people to serve in some way, could you do this? You know what? One excuse we most often get is what? Well, I just don't have the time right now. Could I ask you what you're using God's time for then? That's time God gave you. Are you using it for him? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. You see, when you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you want to be able to ask yourself, have I used the blessing of these hours that God has given me? Have I used the blessing of this day that God has given me for his purposes, that his name might be made known as being great? Or have I used most of my time today for my own purposes? Appropriate your testimony. Appropriate your time. Appropriate, set aside for specific use, deliberately, your talent. I mentioned a minute ago that another aspect of the blessing of God that he gives us spiritually are spiritual gifts. When you are born again, God gives you at least one special enabling, something you can do really well because he enabled you to do it. And on top of that, just when you were born, when he created you in your mother's womb, he gave you certain natural talents and abilities. And God gave you that spiritual gift and those natural talents. They were intended to be you to be able to be used of him in his works, to join him in what he's doing, to share in the joy of the work that he's doing in our world. That's why he gave you that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, in his grace, there he is again, grace, not because you earned it, but because just God's who he is. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And he didn't give it to you for things that might benefit you just for that. Now, they'll benefit you, But he didn't give it to you just to benefit you, for your pleasure, for your advancement, for your accomplishment. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter said, each of you should use whatever gift you received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let me ask you, what spiritual gift, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have at least one, what is it? If you don't know what it is, you need to find out. Because you're supposed to be using it for him. You can't use it if you don't know what it is. What abilities has God given you, and how are you using those to make him known? How are you using your abilities to bring glory to him, to spread the gospel to all people? That's why he blessed you with them. Appropriate your testimony. Appropriate your time. Appropriate your talent. And finally, appropriate your treasure. Your treasure. Your money. Your possessions, your material things. God did provide them for you to meet your needs. As I said a moment ago, God wants you fed, housed, clothed, etc. But that was not his ultimate purpose. We're not supposed to be reservoirs of money, reservoirs of stuff, acquiring more and more for our greater and greater comfort, our greater luxury, our greater pleasure. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 is recorded one of the sermons of the Apostle Paul, and in it he quotes Jesus. It's a verse that doesn't appear in any of the Gospels, but Paul said he heard Jesus, or was told Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I see, you and I, often, I know as Christians we know differently, but we still fall into that selfish thing, is we think it's real. When we think of blessing, we think of being blessed as receiving. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the real blessing is not in the receiving, it's in the giving of those blessings. God has given you what he's given you treasure-wise to advance the kingdom of God, to channel it for his glory and for his purposes. You have some examples in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. You have the story of how the church at Corinth gave of their treasure to aid God's people in another church, in another place that were destitute and needed help financially. And there were two results of that channeling. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, Paul said, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So you channeled your treasure to that group of people in Jerusalem, and two things happened. Their needs were met, and God is being thanked and praised. You can rejoice in that. In the church at Philippi, we're told, participated with the Apostle Paul in his missionary efforts in Thessalonica and in other places. They channeled their treasure over to Paul so he could share the gospel in other parts of the world. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul wrote to them, he said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And you can read in Acts what happened. People in those other places were able to hear the gospel and respond in faith. And those believers back in Philippi could truly say that they had a part in those people going to heaven instead of hell. Why? Because they had channeled the treasure of God to enable Paul to be on that mission field. So in the New Testament, and I give you many more examples, you see God's people channeling their treasure for his purposes. And what's happened? God is praised, people's needs are met in his name, and people hear the gospel and believe, and they're saved. And I tell you today, that is exactly why God gave you the treasure in the first place. That's why he blesses us in every category of blessing. God blessed me so I could be a blessing to somebody else. God saved me so somebody else could be saved. God gifted me so someone else could be served. God granted me another 24 hours so that someone else could live with him in eternity. Now, here's an amazing thing. The giving doesn't impoverish us. You see, the thing about it, what self thinks is, well, if I give all my time and all my treasure and all my talent and boy, aren't I just impoverishing myself? Never, never. You never impoverish yourself. It actually enriches you. It gives you greater joy in Jesus Christ than you have ever known before. The treasure in heaven grows immensely. I can tell you today, no believer in Jesus Christ ever regrets giving their time, their talent, their treasure for God's purposes. Do any of you? Do you regret one moment of time you've given God, one amount of treasure, one minute when you used your talent? Have you ever regretted that for one second? Never. The blessing just returns to you. I know you're familiar with the comic strip Family Circus, you know, the parents and the little kids. It's funny because it captures what life's really like, doesn't it? There's one comic strip where the little boy's there and he sneezes, says, "Achoo." And mom says, of course, what? "God bless you." And then the boy says it again. "Achoo." And mother says, "God bless you." Well, now the boy keeps doing it. And he does it over and over. He gets louder each time. Each time he says, "Achoo," his mother says, "God bless you." After about the fifth, time he says, "Achoo," his mother looks at him and says, "You're pushing it." And the little boy says, "I was just trying to be really blessed." I want to tell you, you want to be really blessed? You want to be really blessed? You crave God's blessing in your life? Then you be a channel of those blessings. John Piper said it like this. He said, "If God wants his goods to get to the nations, then he'll fill the truck that's driving toward the nations." God blesses his people for the sake of the nations. And if we devote ourselves to reaching the nations, God will very likely bless us. You can be that truck. Crave the blessings for the right reasons, and you'll be a really blessed person. And you can be a channel of God's blessing for his purposes and for his glory.
That concludes today's message. Thanks for listening to First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church or want to know more about Jesus Christ, contact us at www.fbcponder.org. Thank you.